stand by me, stand by me. When the sky that you look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountains they crumble to the sea, I won't cry. Just as long as you stand by me, stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Just as long as you stand by me, stand by me. He's a smooth operator. Smooth operator. Smooth. The things that you 36, 24, 36 for a winning hand. She's a great house. Mighty mind, the clock, held it all hand.
Well, welcome back to our next edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Frank's Place Restaurant and Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And if it's happening in Ocoee, it's happening at Frank's Place. Right now, what is happening at Frank's Place is I'm being joined by John Natoli, who is a great musician and performer, and he's toured and played with all sorts of great musicians, and he's got a great story, and now he's got a club, that's right, and so much to talk about, John. So where do we start? Do we want to start with your beginnings in music and sure. How you got to where you are now?
Sure. Basically, I started a show band back in 1971, and after a few months, we were invited to perform out in Las Vegas, and just after a couple of weeks, they took us out of the lounge and put us in the main rooms. I've appeared with from Engelbert Humperdinck to Liberace to Frank Sinatra to Sammy Davis Jr. to Natalie Cole. Been involved with recordings. And we've toured for 28 years, playing every major hotel from Playboy Clubs to the Fairmont Hotels to Caesar's Palace to Madison Square Garden in New York.
Wow, fantastic. So was music for you just something that you always knew that you wanted to make your profession? Or?
Well, actually, I studied music since I was 8 years old, classical piano, and I took on some other instruments. But, I played in a band that played high school dances and just to make some money and so forth. But no, I didn't think it was going to be a full time because actually I have a degree in business administration.
Oh.
I worked on Wall Street for 2.5 years till I realized I didn't belong in an office. And we had put together this band. We were playing weekends on a place similar to this, And we were there for 9 months. And from there, somebody came and saw us and made us an offer, and we never looked back. And we made a full-time career out of it. In fact, actually, it'll be 48 years in February.
Wow. And so you mentioned all these great musicians that you perform for.
Right.
So for our audience, if, you know, we're all wondering, how do you, you know, tour with, you know, musicians like that?
What happens is that you perform, and if you have the talent to belong right. in the main room, whatever, it is a small niche.
Right.
And the word spreads very quickly.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, an experience, we were there, was our second week in Las Vegas, and my sound man and I jumped in a cab to go downtown Vegas to see what that was. We were on the Strip playing at the Stardust Hotel, and as we were going by the Stardust, which has the largest marquee, had 2 million light bulbs, the cab driver said, "The best lounge act is in there right now." And he didn't know who we were.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Oh, Solid State and the Hale Sisters." He says, "They're right there. They're ripping it up." So, and then all of a sudden we were approached by different people, agents, managers. And all of a sudden we were booked in the main room with all these big stars, comedians from Jay Leno to Billy Crystal to Rodney Dangerfield to Jackie Chan, just to name a few. We appeared with all the oldie groups from the original Platters, the Drifters, and the Shirelles, Danny and the Juniors, and Dionne and the Belmonts. And then we hooked up and we did the After the Lovin' tour, the song After the Lovin'. We introduced it with Ange. And we toured with him, and we introduced Natalie Cole to the world, even though she was known with, you know, as the daughter of the great Nat King Cole. We've played with Sinatra, with Tony Bennett, Al Martino, Neil Sedaka, and for years just toured, and we did it for 28 years till we finally had enough of touring, had four children, and we decided to get into the convention business.
Right.
And that's how I got introduced to, really, Orlando, because
right.
we used to fly down here once a month to go and play conventions down here. And I liked it. I bought a home just for a vacation home to come down.
Oh.
And then in 2010, after we finished all our commitments, we came down here, my wife and I, when we retired. I have a son that's a musician, and he's in our group, all keyboard group. He's an excellent singer. My wife was the second lead in Hair on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
She has a tremendous voice. I don't say that because she's my wife. It's reality, variety. Hollywood Reporter all said the same thing. She's one of the best in the world, not just locally. And she proved it in every place we've ever gone. And we were even Entertainers of the Year in Latin America. We did two television specials. And Sammy Davis's only television special, we had the opportunity to do two songs on that show. And we got a full house standing ovation. He made us come out and take an extra bow. So, you know, that's what we're all about. We do large private parties. That's what we did when we came down here
right.
in the convention business. And we did large, expensive weddings because, you know, we're not cheap. And like I said, I started to get tired of doing nothing.
Right, yeah.
And I came across an opportunity to buy a place. And it's right on Route 50 here in Winter Garden. It's called the Showcase WG. Formerly, it was called the Bella Room. And we do weddings and so forth. We do dancing, all type of dancing, because we're a pop group, and pop covers everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Country,
right.
Country Western, covers Broadway. You know, everything is really pop music. But they, you know, broadens off into different categories, you know. We're not really big fans of hip-hop.
Okay, yeah, that's not I know that. Yeah.
That's not our thing, but we're very musical.
Right.
And I, myself, am very proficient at what they call digital music.
Right.
And today, if you go to Broadway, you don't see orchestras anymore. You see people like me playing two or three keyboards that sound like a full orchestra. And that's what we do. When we play our songs, they're all fully arranged by me, but we make them sound like they're supposed to sound. And I do realize that if you want to play the song In the Mood by Glenn Miller and a guitar player, yes, he can play the chords and In the Mood, but it doesn't really sound like
right,
In the Mood. Okay, but we do. I end up producing 32 tracks of full horn sections. We use strings, all kinds of percussion. I have access to 25 drum sets, and we produce a very interesting and, again, even if you go to the main room in Las Vegas, you go give an example, Celine Dion, she'll have four pieces with her,
right.
But she sounds like a full orchestra because she's got two guys like me underneath the stage playing all the other parts. So it's a whole new world. It's a whole computerized world. It's not karaoke. Right. Karaoke are nothing but recordings, okay, minus a voice, okay? This, every note has to be written, okay? And has to be controlled by keyboard players with what we call stage pianos.
Right.
So we control everything, but it's as real as it can be. Our sound modules are the... In some things, you can actually hear the fingers scraping against the strings of a nylon guitar, acoustic guitar. You can hear a flute player, his breath blowing into.
Wow.
So it's so real and it's fantastic. And then when you reproduce it through a $50,000 sound system... There's not much competition around for what we do.
Wow, that's fantastic, John. So it seems like you've really embraced then technology. I'm sure being in the business for so long, you've probably seen the technology really grow.
Oh, absolutely. I'm one that always listened to learn something.
Right.
When there's somebody with great experience and really made it in their profession, I like to climb on their shoulders and take a look and see where they're at, how they did it, and see if I myself can improve on it.
Wow. So with all of this, technology, you make it clear you could pretty much use these keyboards to create any sound you any instrument.
We actually, a number of members, we have a production company called Just Us Orlando Productions.
Right.
There's like 16 people in the production with dancers and so forth. Well, a number of us went to the Bob Carr Theater to hear the Orlando Philharmonic perform with three tenors, a Broadway type of thing.
Right.
And what we just finished was a show called So This Is Broadway. And we featured 23 different Broadway shows.
Wow.
And members who live here or from here, some perform at Universal, some at Disney, some at even at SeaWorld. We all went to go hear the performance, and they actually complimented me in saying, you know, your music was better than that Philharmonic.
Wow.
And I said, I can match any big band, I can match any Philharmonic, and I can match any rock and roller with just three of us on stage playing all these keyboards using modern today technology. The technology is very important because most musicians won't go out and spend tens of thousands of dollars on software and hardware
right.
to make you sound like you want to sound.
Yeah.
But this was my full-time profession, so I had to compete. And today, the cost of a dollar, and when unions were very heavily involved in the music business, it ended up putting a lot of places where they couldn't afford bands. That's where DJs came about.
Yeah.
Okay, because they came and just spun records
right.
and made everybody dance. So what happened as time went on, Sesame Street, okay, 40, it had to be 40 years ago, I would seem to think, that they had a machine called the Fairlight that was constructed in England. Cost $205,000. But this is where one man sounds like a full orchestra, and they still use it today. One person does all that music. It's sort of a takeoff of the organ. You know, the organ, the church was meant to sound like an orchestra if it could.
Right.
But now, today, the reality of recording and recording at such speeds that you don't lose any quality has now taken over the real professional market. John Williams, who did the last Star Wars film, he said that's the first time he's been commissioned to do a film in 8 years because it cost $1 million to get him and X amount of musicians, where it cost $100,000 to get somebody like me and do the exact same thing. So it's all a technical world today, just like your movies. I owned a place up in Massachusetts where Disney filmed a movie with The Rock called The Game Plan, where he played a football player. Okay? And a little over 30% of that film was filmed inside my dome. I had a 50,000 square foot sports dome. And what they did, they were in for 2 weeks, and what I saw them do, and then when I saw the movie, I look at movies differently today because what technology can do is just phenomenal. They could take this little space and make it seem like it's 100 times larger. And, you know, technology, look, you got your cell phones. We thought fax machines was a big deal.
Yeah, right.
Now it's obsolete, you know.
Fantastic. And, you know, so someday who knows what kind of apps, you know, on phones we'll be able to use for musical instruments.
Yeah, it's really getting out of hand, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I have a sound module you can't buy here in the United States.
Right.
It has 1,800 different instruments and sounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's when I hear these sounds, it's truly incredible. You know, you have to have that keen ear to distinguish what was it, the Memorex? I say, was it Memorex?
Yeah.
Or was it live?
Yeah.
And that's the way it is today, you know. But most musicians won't go out and spend the money. Or I had to go to Berkeley and take an 8-week course to learn how to use all this stuff. It's not something that you just buy in a store and you do. You know, it's very time consuming. You're writing out every note. You're telling the drums what drum, what cymbal, how the bass drum should be done. All that is all done. And then I copyright everything that I do.
Good.
And I produce, you know, a phenomenal musical performance.
That's good, John, that you copyright everything, especially after all that work.
Absolutely. You got to do it. I learned the hard way. Actually, in 1972, we had a hit record and it made it to number 18 on Billboard, and it ended up costing me $10,000 to get out of the deal because it wasn't copywritten. It was signed over to somebody who took it over, and we as a group got rubbed out. Didn't make any money. And we were one of three performers. One, his name was Clint Holmes. He had the number one record. Sold 2 million copies. Didn't make a dime. We all sort of got suckered. And that's the other thing. Every once in a while I go on Craigslist and I read what's going on and what's really reality and what's really baloney.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes I make comments. Some people shoot themselves at me. You know, say, why do you say this and why do you... Well, I say what I say because I experienced it.
Right, yeah.
Been there and done that. And if I can help somebody not make the mistake I make, you know, once upon a time, then it was worth it to me. You may not like what I have to say, just like open mics. When you have open mics in places where you come in and you perform for free.
Yeah.
Why should you perform? What you're doing, you're putting a professional musician out of work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
what happens. And some people, and listen, I'm for garage bands. I'm for those that just want to have a good time and so forth. But don't go and advertise like you're Led Zeppelin, you know, and you have bookings waiting for you and everything else when you have nothing. Yeah. But you're demanding on the other side, saying, Send me your video. Send me your bio. And I will get... No. Tell me what you are before I decide to send you my bio. And before I send you anything. You tell me what you are and what do you have. Some people get insulted and they advertise. I say, well, what does a job pay?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we don't have a job yet. I said, well, you don't want a professional musician.
Right.
And I pass on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they must say things under their breath, you know, oh, who does this guy think he is? Well, you know what? It's like a plumber. A plumber that has 25 years experience goes and fixes a sink. It took him 5 minutes. And the lady said, you're charging me this money? No, I'm charging you for my experience.
Yeah.
Because another plumber that doesn't have this would be here for 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out what's wrong. I know what's wrong. And that's, you know, my experience in the record business and in the live performance business. I know the business. I know the industry. And if I can help out, I try to.
Okay, John, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back. My guest today is John Natoli, and you're listening to the Mike Kira Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Frank's Place Restaurant Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Coey, Florida. If it's happening in Coey, it's happening at Frank's Place. And please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today.